Forgetting the image. Now, I've said several times before that I was in the military. And in the military, you have a whole bunch of stories. I'm going to tell you one tonight. Well, this is an Army uniform. And everybody in the military has uniforms. You kind of look forward to it. A lot of people, as a matter of fact, go to the military not knowing they're going to have to dodge bullets. They're like, I just want the uniform. So they go and they get these wonderful uniforms. And I have to admit, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I was a sailor and we wore the white uniform, you know, the Cracker Jack men, right? Everybody seen that? But guess who had the best looking uniforms? It's the Marines. Nobody can deny that. I mean, if you're in the military or out of the military, you see a Marine coming by, you're like, that's a Marine. You know it, they look great, and they just exude confidence, right? Now, here's something interesting about a uniform. A lot of folks think that the military decoration, the things that go on the uniform, are just going in arbitrary places. Like, you know, the guy just wakes up in the morning and puts certain things in certain places, but little do they know, there's a whole reg about that. Like, you have to put certain things in certain places. Like, you just can't have ribbons there in the wrong place. You have to know where they go. Everything has, I mean, to the inch, you have to know exactly where everything is. Like, in the Navy, that was our uniform. See, it doesn't look as good as Marines, does it? In the Navy, our uniforms, Andrew, you're going to the Navy, you better like that. But in our uniforms, there are certain things. You got to have the chevron in certain places. You got to have wear the hat a certain way. This is just like one page out of the Red Books. It goes on and on and on. And when somebody gets together and everybody wears our uniforms, it looks amazing. I mean, it just looks really nice to see people in their uniforms serving their country. Now, once you do this for long enough, you don't have to tell me or anybody in the military what the regs are on the uniform. You can just walk up to it and see it. If I'm a sailor and I see somebody wearing a sailor uniform, I can just look at that uniform and say, he's wearing it the right way or he's not wearing it the right way. So this guy behind me, if you're not in the Marine Corps, it looks like that's a normal uniform. It looks like he's just wearing it and everything is great. But this is called stolen valor. He doesn't have on the proper Marine Corps uniform. See that guy there standing beside him? He's looking at him like, this is not right. You have things in the wrong places. And I know this not because I got the regs in front of me, because I know the for real image of a United States Marine uniform. I have it ingrained in my mind. So when something sticks out, I can see it. This guy's walking by thinking he's going to fool somebody. And he didn't. He got caught. Because that guy knew the image of that uniform. I know you're saying, why you're talking about uniforms and the military and all that, but there's a parallel to this, that we as Christians should understand the image that God made us in. So that when we see people doing things, when we see people behaving in ways that are not befitting to the image that God gave us in His Spirit, then we should be able to pick that out and say, something's wrong with that. When somebody's walking around doing things that are contrary to the image that God gave us, they're not appreciating that image. When they're doing things that they don't get to take that image with them, they're not remembering that we are a spirit, that we're going to have to see God one day. We should be able to identify that as Christians and say something is wrong. We should know that, not because we have every verse in the Bible memorized, but because God told us, and we should never forget that. So what is our image? What are we made in? Thank you for reading that scripture this morning. This evening, when we talk about the image of God, are we talking about flesh and bones? When God says, hey, I made you in my image, are we talking about flesh and bones? Is He talking about flesh and bones? Jack had this right before. God does not have flesh and bones because He's a spirit. When He's talking about it, He's not saying, well, you know what, I want to make sure they have 10 fingers and 10 toes. I want to make sure that they are, have all these physical attributes. I want to make sure that they lose their hair when they get in their 50s and 60s. I want to make sure all of that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about His spiritual things that He has going with Him. That's what He's talking about. Does God have a body? See my hands and my feet. That is, I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. When you look at this, the Bible makes this clear. A spirit does not have flesh and bones. When God says, I'm making them in my image, he's saying, hey, I'm making them, giving them the characteristics of some of the things that I have as God. I'm not making them God. I'm not giving them everything that I have as God, but I'm going to make them in that image. I'm going to make them a shadow of what I am. 1 Timothy 1 and 17, it says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, it says, the only God be the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Invisible is what we're talking about here. We don't just get to make these things up in the Bible. For a long time, I thought when I saw that in Genesis 1 and 26 that it was talking about a body. That's what I thought. But I was wrong. And then even God has invisible attributes. God doesn't do everything that we can see. His attributes are even invisible. Romans 1 and 20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. When we're talking about God, when we're talking about us, we have to remember that God is not made out of flesh and bones. And that changes everything. If we think about it in that context, that'll guide us in our walk. That'll guide us when we're looking at ourselves to remember that we are spiritual people. We have to remember that. We have to be able to look out in the world and say, you know what, these are spiritual people. I'll give you some examples of that, the way society has kind of fell back from that, but we as Christians shouldn't know that. God told us that in the beginning. If you think about it, out of all the places that you can have this in the Bible, he put it in Genesis chapter 1. Told us that we're made after his image. And then one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. With all of that, being that we're a spirit, we have spiritual responsibilities. Now, we were talking about this morning, about how would we know that? How would we know that we have spiritual responsibilities unless he did not tell us, unless somebody came and told us, unless somebody went to that realm and came back and said, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. We have that clearly documented, that it's not like we just have to worry about this as far as like, what am I going to do? He's already told us that we are going to have to worship him in spirit and truth because he's a spirit. Doesn't it all make sense when we think about God in that perspective, that we have to worship him in spirit and truth because he's in fact a spirit? That makes perfect sense. Acts 7:59, they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. There's something else about this as well. We have spirits. Genesis 1:26 is great. We were made in the image of God. But I just want to keep hammering this home. You get lessons where a lot of preachers say a lot of stuff, right? They give like 50 million scriptures. And sometimes I have to give 50 million scriptures to support what I'm saying. But this message is clear. It's all about the spirit. It's all about the image of God. And I just want to keep saying that over and over again so that we can understand it. It's important. It should influence everything that we do. If we keep that in mind, we'll realize a lot of these things that we got going on earth is just not worth it. It's just not. Because we're created in his image, and his image will live forever. But these things of the earth are going to pass away. We have spirits. We have spiritual responsibilities, and we ought to remember that. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, even Jesus in the Bible is talking about this spirit. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, if you start to just read the Bible and start to notice how many times that Jesus or God or somebody pointed this out, you'll be amazed to see how many times spirit is mentioned in the Bible. I mean, it's mentioned a lot. It's mentioned so many times that you can almost every page see spirit written on it somewhere. It's really important to remember this because, like I said, it has super long implications. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Have we thought about this before? Have we looked at a passage like this and really thought about it and really just taken a step back? Says, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for the spirit of a man which is in him? Who else besides God? I know it's easy to walk through life and get caught up in life itself. I do. I know it's easy to go to work and to have kids and to worry about retirement and deal with all those things. But Jack was right on when he said, you know, we need to worry about feeding our spirit sometimes. We need to really focus on feeding our spirits because that is what's going to live forever. God put it at the beginning of the Bible for a reason. He wants us to know it, and he wants us to wrestle with this. And just think about it. We didn't give ourselves our spirit. We need to listen to the one who gave the spirit to us in the first place. When we're talking about spirits, and our spirit in particular, you know, the wife and I, we're thinking about going to buy a new truck. As if my truck ain't big enough. We're thinking about getting a bigger truck. And we're not going to get a Ford this time. Now, I know Chad doesn't like, listen, see, I know he doesn't like Fords, but we're not going to get a Ford this time. We're going to go to Ram. Now, I've never owned a Ram truck before. So when I go get this Ram truck, I'm probably going to sit down and read the owner's manual. Because knowing me, I'm going to do something wrong. So nowadays, when you buy vehicles, they got these scheduled maintenances, right? The A, the B, the C, the D. And it seems like every time you get in it, bing, another alarm is going off on the dashboard. You got to go get this maintenance done, right? Imagine if I were to go get this Dodge truck and I'm driving and everything is great. And I say, you know what? Even though the owner's manual says I need to get the oil changed every 5,000 miles, I say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I don't need to get the oil changed every 5,000 miles. Who are these people who made the truck to tell me that I need to get the oil changed every 5,000 miles? This is ludicrous. Imagine if I did that. Soon I'd be on the side of the road because the engine would seize up because I hadn't got the oil changed. My point to this is very serious. We didn't give ourselves our spirit, so therefore we should not be trying to fix our spiritual problems with ourselves. God gave us the owner's manual right here. He gave us everything that we need to know about our spirits. He gave us everything we need to know about maintaining our spirits. He gave us everything we need to know about growing our spirits. Everything that we need to know about our spirits is right here. Who are we to try to fix spiritual problems with things that we came up with at our own? That doesn't make any sense in any other application. It sure doesn't make any sense when it comes down to dealing with God. Let us think about this and let us try to work on ourselves the way that the Bible has told us to do so. Because if not, we're doomed. We can't try to fix something that we don't have the ability to fix. We wouldn't even know that we had a spirit unless he told us. You know, a lot of people go to the gym. This lady's smiling. And I've never smiled going to the gym. But she's smiling. She's working out. What we do is we try to go work out our spirits on our own. We try to go do things that we think are great for our spirit on our own. We try to get in the gym and try to just make it strong, and that's just not going to work when it comes down to God. God is very clear. He's prescribed it. And I think we would just be so wise to listen to him. What it comes down to is we have to be disciplined enough to do it. Just like going to the gym, just like doing anything else, it takes time. Spiritual matters aren't just fixed, bam, overnight. It takes time for us to really dial in and focus on what God has to do because God doesn't move at our speed. God moves at his speed. God moves the way that he wants to move. And half of the time, I'd even say most of the time, we can't even recognize what God is doing until he's done it. How many times have we went through life, and I know me specifically, I've gone through like, why won't God just fix this? Please just fix this. Oh, God, please just fix it. What is taking you so long? Please fix it. And then when he fixed it, it's like, you look back, it's like, man, he was fixing it the whole time. What was I thinking? Want to know why I couldn't see it? Because I'm not in that realm. He's a spirit. He made us. He could have been working on it the whole time. He could have had angels fixing this the whole time, and we would have never been the wiser because we can't see what's going on there. We just have to have faith in what he said and go about it that way. Amen? We'll go back to this, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those must worship him in spirit and truth. This act of worshiping him, a lot of people have problems around that. A lot of people will go around and say, well, I don't, you know, want to do this, and I don't want to do that when it comes down to worship. Why are we doing this? Why are we behaving this way? It always goes back to this simple thing. We don't have a right to say. Just plain and simple. We don't have a right to say what we do in any context when it comes down to God. Just like I said, we're buying a new Dodge truck. I have no right, unless I want to accept the responsibility of what's going to happen when I don't, but I have no right to go and tell Dodge, who made the truck, that I'm not going to do something. And then blame Dodge, which humans often do, and then turn around and blame Dodge. Hey, I need you to get the oil changed every 3,000 miles. I'm not going to get the oil changed. Then we're broke down on the side of the road. Guess who we're calling? Dodge. We don't have the right to blame God when we don't do what he told us to do. It's just that simple. Do what he asked, because he made us. He created us in his image, and we should leave it at that. Galatians 5 and 17 says, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. I'm telling you, it's all over the Bible. God is talking about spiritual things in this Bible. He is talking about it over and over and over again. Telling you how to make sure your spirit is victorious instead of worrying about the other things. Everything that you see in the Bible, I want you to just leave here. If you don't get anything else from what I'm saying, I want you to leave here and just think, this is not about my well-being right now. God is trying to protect my spirit. He's trying to make sure that my spirit is there with him. And if you think about it, it just gives me chills. A God that created the heavens and the earth could care so much about us that he would not only disclose all this information to us, he gave us a way to come back and be with him. If you just think about that for a second, somebody so powerful, but yet loves us so much that he did all of this for us. I think we'd be doing a huge disservice by not saying that. I'm going to wrap this up. We should get to know about the image. We should know about exactly what it does. We should know why we have an image in all of these. God gave us our spirit, Genesis 1:26. This is the key point here. We know it, but we've talked about that enough. The body without the spirit is dead, James 2:26. You want to talk about a death? That's what it is. The body without the spirit, that is death. And we ought to know that. The third point I want to make on this, our spirits are made alive through Christ Jesus. We were dead men walking before this. We may have a spirit and God gave it to us, but we were dead men walking. We ought to remember that. Made alive to go be with him through Christ. What a wonderful story to tell about our spirit. And lastly here, God can destroy our spirits. Don't fear somebody who can just destroy your body. You fear somebody who can destroy both your body and your spirit. That's somebody who to fear. It's important that we remember this. It's important that we understand it. It's important that we adopt it. And we've talked about the spirit. In the last few minutes here, I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about how society has forgotten about the spirit and the devastating, and I mean devastating, consequences of society doing that. You know, they try to separate the body and the spirit. That's what's going on nowadays. When you look out in the public, when you look out in schools, when you look out anywhere, what society has tried to do is separate the two. They've tried to leave the spirit behind and leave godly things behind and just focus on the body. And let me tell you, it is evident everywhere if you know the image that we were made in. People say, I forget about this. The schools have went along and said, I'm not going to do this. Society has just absolutely, our country was so prosperous, and all of a sudden now, it's just where every day it seems like I'm looking at the news, and every day it's just like, how on earth did we get here? Want to know why? It's because we forgot that he made us in his own image for a purpose, and it wasn't for ourselves. It was to bring glory and honor to him. That's what we've forgotten. We've bowed down to ourselves. We've bowed down to life comforts. We've bowed down to all of these different things because that's the easy thing to do nowadays. That's what society is teaching. First thing I want to tell you about is riches, money, wealth, and material things. How much do we focus on things like this if we're not careful? And just leave it alone with let's take the church out of it. Let's just talk about society for a second. Anywhere you look, people are chasing the mighty dollar. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeding your family and taking care of folks. There's nothing wrong with that. We're commanded to do that. But when this becomes your God, you forgot that you have a spirit that needs taken care of. And folks out there are just doing everything they can, pushing folks over almost, trying to make another dollar. We have a spirit. Let's remember that, because all this is going to pass away. whether we believe it or not. Just like we didn't know that we had a spirit unless God told us, we have to believe that these things are going to pass away because he said so. It's going to be gone. What about relationships? I'll tell you, I see a lot of people doing this where they don't care if the person that they're in a relationship with is pulling them away from God. I don't care because they're in love. And love is going to, you know, the love that you have between you and that person is going to save your soul. It's not going to save your soul, especially young people who are starting their lives out. They're trying to get in relationships and dating and so on and so forth. Be very careful, because before you know it, you could be so entangled with a person that's pulling you away from Christ that you've completely forgot that you got a soul that has to be saved. It's easy to do. It's easy to slip down that path. I'm begging you, don't do it. Remember that you have a soul. Ugh. I don't know if this is true or not. I got the image off the internet, so it has to be true. But a lot of people, in all seriousness, they love themselves. And I mean they love themselves. They will do anything to make themselves look better. Now, if you think about it in the context, you have this little tiny life that we have versus all of eternity that we're going to spend. Which one will we put more stock in? We shouldn't merely be looking at our physical bodies. And I'm saying this, we're trying to become an evangelistic congregation. We're trying to figure out how do we talk to people. We're trying to figure out how we can slip that conversation in about God. When you see people that have went off the path and say just doing stuff, because we know the image. We know, like, why would you be doing that? So we know that that doesn't look right. So when you see people slipping off the path, one of these days you get close enough to them and say, hey, I know you're doing a lot of maintenance on yourself and you look good. Have you thought about your spiritual well-being? Have you thought about having to go see God one day? Have you thought about Christ Jesus coming to save your soul? Have you thought about that? I know you're doing a lot of maintenance on yourself, and that's great, but I want you to think about something else too. They may look at you and say, what, he's crazy, or they may look at you and say, you know what, I never thought about that. And it may take 2 days, 2 years, 2 months, and after that, they may just be working on them in their minds, and they say, you know what, somebody asked me about my spirit. Maybe I should pay attention to that. It's sad what people are doing, and this isn't even the worst of it. We have become a society that only focuses on things that we can see. We only focus on things that are right there in front of our face. We only focus on things that are going to get us instant gratification. We only focus on things that are going to make us look good. And I'm not talking about specifically the church. We should know the image, so we shouldn't behave this way. But I'm telling you, society has slipped so far down the slope that they are literally worshiping themselves and don't even know it. And I'm not here to say that we should be looking at them saying, oh, well, you know, these bad people and so on and so forth. We shouldn't be saying that at all. We should be saying, you know what? I want to have that loving spirit that God has, and I want to do everything I can to help these people. I want to give them some soul-saving information. I want to give them some information that's going to help them break free of that. I want to say something that's going to help them, you know, loosen those chains of sin and really focus on God and not have to worry about things that they can see. They need to be focusing on things that they can't see because we trust God and he's already told us. That's what I think we should be focusing on. You know, this is a picture of devastation, and I agree with it. This is really, really bad devastation. I mean, something went bad here. There's a ship on land with some houses, and that just doesn't look good. Something really, really bad happened, and I'm sure that this is devastating. But I'm telling you, when we neglect our spirits, when society forget about our spirits, that is what's really devastating. This, again, is going to pass away. But when we start having arguments about stuff like this, keep abortion legal, stop abortion now, am I going to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, we as the church, this is our stance, needs to be on this. Jeremiah 1:5 is a passage, people read it all the time, and it says, before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. A lot of people point to that and say, well, this means that the baby has a spirit, right? That's what a lot of folks are saying. And I was talking to Chad about this, and he said, go look at this. And I went and studied it, and I think he's right. He said, you know what? This passage may not necessarily be saying that. This passage may be saying that before I knew you, I was going to raise you up. I needed a Jeremiah. I needed a Moses. I needed a Saul. And so before I knew you, I was going to raise you up. I knew I needed somebody like you, so I was going to raise you up. So a lot of people use that argument about spirits and saying, oh, well, the baby has a spirit, so we shouldn't have abortion. My point to you is we can't prove it, and we cannot prove it either. You can't go in the Bible and say definitively that a baby has a spirit. So why would we go down this road as a society? We're messing with things that we shouldn't be messing with. We're forgetting that we were made in the image. And what if that baby does have a spirit? We don't know. I can't go over here and just prove it right off because I don't believe that passage says that. But what I am saying, we were foolish as a society to strip something like that from life when we don't even know if that baby's a living spirit. I personally believe that the baby's a living spirit, but I can't prove it. And that's two different things. Let's remember that. What I believe and what I can prove is two totally different things. So when it comes down to this baby, and you see this passage here before, Jeremiah 1 and 5, make sure we know we're speaking at it in context, number one, and make sure we two, just because we can't prove it, it doesn't mean that it's not wrong. That's my point I want to have to you. Here's maybe a touchy subject when it comes down to animals. Is there something wrong with having a dog? Nope. Or a cat? Nope. Or a gerbil? Or a pet rat for all care? Well, maybe there's something wrong with having a rat. It's kind of nasty. But nonetheless, if you have a pet, I had a pet growing up. His name was George. He was a German Shepherd. Most loyal dog. We were crazy about that dog. I remember that was the first taste of death that I ever got. I was coming home from school, and my mom knew how crazy I was about this dog. But I was coming home from school, and I got in the car, and she pulled off the side of the road, and she turned around in the seat and looked at me. She says, "Baby, George died." And I was like, "Well, what happened?" She says, "Well, I thought that you would take this a little bit harder than you're taking it." I was like, "Well, I didn't know Uncle George that well." She's like, "No, I'm talking about the dog." I was like, "Oh, my goodness. My dog. That's what happened to my dog. Where's my dog?" I did have an uncle named George. I talked to you about George once in my lesson here. But anyway, so George was gone. I said, "What's going to happen to George, Mom?" She says, "Baby, he's dead. He's not coming back. He doesn't have a spirit." But if that's true or not, my point to you is you can't find anywhere in the Bible that says that God is going to, we need to make sure that we save the souls of animals to usher them up into heaven. Now, he does say that every man that comes onto this earth will have a soul. So we should put our priority on that. Am I saying to not have an animal? No, but I am saying that if we're going to have a priority, we should never let an animal get in the way of our spiritual well-being. And I'm just saying that I've seen it, and I'm saying that it's sad. We should never let that happen. And before I leave this, so I'll say this. In Genesis 1:26, he says, "Let us make man in our own image." These are people that we like, dislike, different countries and all the other stuff. Everybody has a soul. So that who should we care about when it comes down in respect to their salvation? Everybody. And sometimes we have this lens on where we only see the people that we want to see when it comes down to salvation. When it comes down to evangelizing the folks, we're trying to become an evangelistic congregation here. We got to take these blinders off that the horses walk around with and say, you know what? Everybody has a soul, and everybody deserves to hear the gospel at least once. So we will walk around into the nice neighborhoods, into the nice looking people, the people with the suits on, the people that are nicely manicured, the people that we think that ought to be Christians. Remember that Genesis 1:26 says everybody has a soul. So we shouldn't walk around and have this notive that you know what, this person is going to take the gospel, because what I found is the people that we think are going to take the gospel are not going to take the gospel. But that person that is low, that is barely making ends meet, that are there just struggling in life in every way that you can think of, they're like, you know what, tell me about this Jesus because I need something. And then you tell them about Christ Jesus and all the ways that he can set them free. We've taken everything out of the schools as far as anything to God. We've just completely stricken that away. It used to be where kids would pray. We look at Andy Griffith now because my wife had never seen Andy Griffith. I think I told you that. So we're looking at it on Netflix. And we started in season one. Season one has 32 episodes. That's a lot. But anyway, we're looking at Andy Griffith. And every night before Opie goes to bed, what does he do? He prays. When was the last time you seen that on TV? When was the last time? It used to be a common occurrence that people would pray and there was no big deal about it. Now that's not the case. And you don't know how many times I stopped the TV since I've been looking at it with my wife and says, can you believe they're doing that? Can you believe that they're talking about godly things on TV? Is this the Twilight Zone? That's what they did. And that's the way we should be. We should do things because God told us to do and not worry about what society has to say about it. And this is my last point I'll make on this. Harsh political stances worry me as well. When somebody is saying, you know what? I don't ever want somebody from another country to come to this country. Wait, I think we went too far there. I think we went too far. It's one thing to say we want to go by the rules. That's one thing. But to say I don't ever want somebody to come over here, what if that person comes over here and finds Jesus? What if they have a better chance of coming over here and finding Jesus? What if their country is predominantly Catholic and that's all they know, and then they get over here and it's like, you know what? Well, tell me about this true living Jesus that you're talking about. I want to know about that. What if that's the case? But when we get the attitude that we are better than them because they are coming over here, then we should really be careful. Coming over here the right way versus coming over here the wrong way is two totally different things. I cannot stand it when people take credit for something that they did not do. Nobody chose to be born in America. They were just born in America. And I can't stand it. It gets on my nerves to the point that I don't understand when I hear Christians say, well, you know what, this I can't believe that they're letting these people come over here. You didn't choose to come here. You weren't choose to be born here. It's not like you tapped your mother and said, hey, mother, I know I'm 3 months pregnant. Move over, liver. Move to America. Didn't happen. So we should just be thankful that we have these opportunities. And when somebody follows the right process, the legal ramifications, because as Christians we're told that we need to obey the government, if that's going to be the case, then we should welcome folks. And then when they get here, try to teach them about the true living God. Amen? Amen. Lastly, the church is not immune to having this mind frame. We should be people that are devoted to spiritual things. Sometimes churches have moved off and done things that are focusing on the wrong thing. We should be some prayerful people. Colossians 4 talks about that, 4 and 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep an alert in it and one another in thanksgiving. We should really be focusing in on that in the church because we are spiritual people. Fellowship, 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You should remember that. I could preach a whole lesson on the church and the ramifications of this, but this lesson was about society, and that's okay, because we need to be able to know this. We're supposed to be, again, evangelizing the gospel. I want us to be able to diagnose these problems. I want us to be able to know the image that we were made in, so that when we see something that goes awry, we'll know how to deal with it. And lastly, we're supposed to be focusing on spiritual maturity. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, he is an infant. We should not be like that. We should be focusing on spiritual things. I had to throw that in there because I didn't want to just leave it out, because I think that's the most important part of all of this. But at the same time, it's good to be able to understand what society is doing. I'm done. I'll say this before I close. Chad told me to preach for 2 hours today, but I fought him off. When you think of something in the right perspective, it changes things. We were looking at a show, me and the wife, last night, and it was America's Got Talent, and these people came over here from another country, and they were just so grateful to be here. They had worked their entire lives to be here, and their whole dream was to be able to perform on this stage. And a lot of them left situations that were really bad. They didn't have parents. They were raising kids when they were kids. And I told her, I said, you know, I need to be grateful. And it shouldn't take a show like that. It should take this Bible that will make me grateful for everything that we have. The right perspective is that we're spiritual people. And everything that we do needs to be focused around that. Everything that we do needs to be feeding the Spirit. And when we look out into the world, we shouldn't see a vast array of people. We should be seeing all of these folks that have souls and need to be saved. Thank you for listening. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, and you've forgotten about the spiritual responsibilities that we have, then one many wonderful things about Christ is he will take us back and get us back to the status that we should be. And if you're not a Christian, won't you be a part of the world's greatest family, the royal family, that'll be marched into heaven, ushered into heaven with Jesus? All you have to do is believe, confess, repent, be baptized, and have your sins washed away. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.